Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see, man. We could almost just do a quick snapshot of some of the headlines here kicking off this 7 o'clock hour. Hey, quick heads up. If I know some of you have been trying to call in on the phone lines right now. We're still working to install that new phone system, so our phones are giving us a little bit of an issue right now, but we should have them back up and running here soon. So if you've been trying to call in, you're like, hey, what the heck? It's not going through. We're working on that right now as we speak. But in the meantime, we got a lot of content to share with you here. Let's start with the big news out of the White House yesterday. You heard the preview from Montana Governor Gianforte, who joined us on Montana Talks just about an hour before he went to the White House himself. Both of Montana's U.S. senators were at the White House for this big announcement supporting Montana's beautiful clean coal as well. Here's President Trump recognizing both of our senators.
Steve Daines. Thank you, Steve. And Steve is a picker of great candidates, like he picked a guy named Tim Sheehy, who's here. Where's Tim? Where's Tim? Thank you, Tim. And Tim Sheehy has turned out to be a wonderful senator, and that was your pick. And we went with it, and you were right. And we have a great one in Tim. So thank you, Tim. And thank you, Steve.
All right, there you go. That's just some of the audio. We've got other highlights from the event yesterday as well. And, of course, a lot more highlights of President Trump talking about trade, talking about tariffs, and all of the countries that are coming his direction seeking a deal. Actually, let's go right to that one here. This is from the Trump War Room. President Trump also spoke at the NRCC dinner last night.
This is bigger than any deal. You guys, some of you work for companies. Your companies are peanuts. I don't care how big they are. Compared, this is the largest transaction in the history of our country. And don't let some of these politicians go around saying, you know, because I'm telling you, these countries are calling us up, kissing my ass. They are dying to make a deal. Please, please, sir, make a deal. I'll do anything. I'll do anything, sir. And then I'll see some rebel Republican, you know, some guy that wants to grandstand. Say, I think the Congress should take over negotiations. Let me tell you, you don't negotiate like I negotiate. Congress takes over negotiating. Sell America fast because you're going to go busted. You don't. I just saw it today. A couple of your congressmen said, I think we should get involved in the negotiation of the tariffs. So that's what I need. I need some guy telling me how to negotiate.
Yeah, and by the way, haven't we let them be the ones to negotiate this kind of stuff for decades now? Aren't they the reason we're in this position in the first place right now? Yeah, pretty obvious, isn't it? All right, we got a lot more to follow here. Stephen Miller on fire once again. And he, speaking of, you know, why we got into this position in the first place, he unloaded on what he calls these America last trade deals of the past. But, you know, the people who made America last, put America last, are the ones who are now trying to lecture President Trump for putting America first.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see cloudiness and some sunny breaks today with some isolated rain showers possible, mixed with snow in some parts of the area towards Bozeman early. Otherwise, high temperatures from the mid-50s in Bozeman to about 63 in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect clear skies, lows in the low to mid-30s. Then we'll see sunshine Thursday with a high in the upper 60s, around 70. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
It all started on Monday morning when Bloomberg, that is, some guy identified as Walter Bloomberg, posted this. Hassett, Trump is considering a 90-day pause in tariffs for all countries except China. Well, the market shot up. But White House Economic Director Kevin Hassett never said that. He said on Fox, I think the president is going to decide what the president is going to decide. Then CNBC anchor Carl Quintanilla, said, I think we can go with this headline. Apparently, Hassett's been saying that Trump will consider a 90-day pause in tariffs for all countries except China. That was picked up by Reuters. The wire service later admitted its mistake. Reuters has withdrawn the incorrect report and regrets its error. CNBC spokeswoman said, as we were chasing news in the market in real time, we heard unconfirmed information in a banner. Our reporters made a correction on air, but it shows you how volatile the market is to misinformation. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, looks like the phone lines are back up and running now, so that is good news. Good to go here. Unless Caden, if our engineer Andy thinks we need to give that little TLO system a little bit of a rest here, we could give it a rest for another 30 minutes or so, because coming up at 7:40, we have some exclusive breaking news, a very big, cool announcement coming up here in about a half an hour, and they're announcing that news exclusively right here on Montana Talks, because they know how important you guys are. All right, we got a caller on the line. Before we get to that caller, real quick, I've been talking, you know, a lot about the White House visit yesterday, Governor Gianforte, and both Montana senators at the White House for this big announcement regarding coal from President Trump. Let me pull up a couple of these stories here from Fox News Radio so you can get the gist of the news here. All right, first, the scene setter, President Trump, reversing Biden-era regulations and restrictions on coal production. Let me see if I get the right story queued up for you. I believe this is the Jared Halpern report from Fox News Radio.
Coal miners joined President Trump here as he signed executive orders designed to jumpstart the declining coal industry.
And all those plants that have been closed are going to be opened. If they're modern enough, or they'll be ripped down and brand new ones will be built.
The president says beautiful, clean coal is needed to double U.S. energy capacity needed for AI development. A series of executive orders allows federal land to be used for coal mining and prevents several plants to be shut down. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Yeah, great news for Colstrip, great news for Powder River Basin coal miners, and those of you who benefit from the jobs, the revenue that comes in as well. Remember when all the arts people showed up in Helena? Don't cut our funding. We want money for this theater, this arts project, or that arts project. Where does that money come from? It comes from coal money. Every single one of those artsy, fartsy folks, that's slightly in jest. Come on, there's some great theater and art stuff out there, right? Every single one of those people should be lined up right now thanking Donald J. Trump for funding their theater, for funding their art project or whatever. Even the purple-haired people should be showing up right now saying thank you to Donald J. Trump for protecting their arts funding because he protected their coal money. I won't hold my breath, though. President Donald J. Trump, here he is in his own words at that announcement at the White House, promising to unleash American energy and restore American energy dominance. Because remember, he showed us that it can be done in his first term, and he's working to do it once again.
We will continue to lower costs for American families, create jobs for American workers, and very importantly, unlock unlimited amounts of affordable American energy, including, as I said, and I'll say for the last time, beautiful, clean coal.
There it is. All right, into the phone lines we go. 406-294-0970. Thomas in Billings, what's going on this morning?
Well, I just want to bring it back to, good morning, Aaron, by the way.
Yeah, good morning. You can just jump right into it. That's all right. No worries.
All right. Well, I met with a high-ranking member of the U.S. Marshal Service yesterday, and he's here in Billings because I mean, don't get me wrong. I am a Republican. I'm a patriot. But we got to quit playing defense. We got to do offense. The fentanyl, the illegal immigrants in the biggest county in Montana, we need to stop this.
What makes you think we're not playing offense?
Because, you know, I've been pushing for 3 years when I ran for the legislature that we need more space in our jail here in Montana, here in Billings. And all of a sudden they want to play defense. All of a sudden they want to throw money at Billings. This place is so inundated with illegal immigrants, and it is so thrown into Billings with illegal drugs, fentanyl.
But again,
this is the largest county in Montana.
But Trump is on offense right now. What makes you think that? Judge Harada on the show last week. She says, I'm now seeing these illegal aliens come through my courtroom, and they're being deported. They're being processed for removal. The governor said, we're seeing cooperation with law enforcement across the board like we've never seen before. So I like the push for more aggressiveness, but what are you specifically calling for?
What I'm calling for is we need to have Congress put a leash on these district judges. Law enforcement needs to do their job. And without these judges and these county attorneys doing their thing.
Yeah, and Congress does need to do that.
We need to be on offense, not defense.
Yeah, and Congress is doing that. And the Supreme Court just basically kind of reined in these liberal judges. But I agree with you. Yeah, more needs to be done with the federal judges, and Congress needs to get some legislation back across the finish line as well. But from an overall standpoint, I think President Trump and Tom Homan and crew are on offense.
Absolutely. But 3 years ago, we asked for funding to expand the jail system here in Yellowstone County. And we got crickets. I love Greg. Greg Gianforte is great. But it's like, we can't play defense.
That's why we got to expand our prison capacity to ease capacity on the jails as well, which is what the governor was talking about last week. Thomas, great to hear from you.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The stock market is not the economy, certainly. Its euphoria and gloom are dramatic and well-publicized. The changes in the overall economy can't be boiled down to a simple number and take weeks or more to show up in data. For all the talk of trillions of wealth being wiped out in recent days, there have been equally eye-popping changes on the upside during the market's bull run before that. In reality, of course, those gyrations are just numbers on a page, with concrete meaning only if the assets they represent are liquidated. Lower or even dramatically lower stock prices don't put people out of work, and the connection between portfolio values and current spending is nowhere near as strong as some make it out to be. But the market is a sentiment index on the immediate future, and its precipitous fall warns us of just how much those sentiments have changed for the worse. It is people and institutions voting with dollars on where they think the return on those assets is greatest, and right now that is anywhere but in shares of U.S. companies. I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is Hall's Call for Health. Clearing your throat is pretty common, but if you do it too much, it could cause problems. Laryngologist Dr. Inna Hussain recently talked with Fox News Digital.
So when you're actually throat clearing, the mechanism of action that's happening is that you are slamming your vocal folds together, and that generates the sound of the clear and the kind of movement of things like mucus. So the problem with that is those same vocal cords are used to help you create sound. So if you keep slamming them, you could injure the surface area of the vocal cords, causing things like lesions to form, nodules. You know, you can bruise your vocal cords, cause hemorrhages, and essentially that would affect your voice.
She says there are a few alternatives.
Feel a tickle. I'm going to try to swallow. I'm going to try to hum. I'm going to try to blow out air. I'm going to try to take a sip of water instead of doing that throat clear. And over time, that helps the larynx kind of reset itself.
For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
USDA data compiled by the U.S. Meat Export Federation shows beef exports during February were below last year after a higher trend seen in January. Beef exports totaled just over 98,000 metric tons in February, down 5.5% from 2024, while value dropped 4% to just over $800 million. February exports increased year over year to South Korea, Canada, Egypt, and the Philippines. January and February shipments were 1% below last year's pace at just over 201,000 metric tons, but value increased 1% to $1.6 billion. As for February exports of U.S. pork, they were lower than last year as well, despite continued success in Mexico and Central America. February pork exports totaled over 241,000 metric tons, down 4% from the large volume last year. Value dropped 2% to just over $671 million. Exports soared to Central America in February, and export value to Mexico exceeded $200 million for the eighth straight month. For January through February of this year, pork exports were 3% below last year's record pace. Again, that data brought to you from USDA and compiled by the U.S. Meat Export Federation. I'm Lee Nordlund. Have a great day, everyone.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, man. Today's one of those days where we have almost too much information ready to go. Too much show prep. Too many audio clips, too much of everything ready to go. But, you know, part of the reason why we always over-prepare for a show like this is because, hey, we never know what you might want to talk about. And so you might, you know, want to call in and bring up some topic. And it's like, huh, didn't think of that one. Or oh, hey, yeah, great point. And did you hear about this? Montana Senator Steve Daines, I mentioned he was at the White House with President Trump yesterday on this big, beautiful coal announcement yesterday, but he also did a back and forth during the confirmation hearings for Jameson Greer, who is President Trump's nominee to serve as USTR, the U.S. Trade Representative. And so they had a back and forth talking about trade, talking about China, talking about our farmers, talking about our ranchers. Of course, Senator Daines was just in China on behalf of President Trump to negotiate on trade and to fix the fentanyl crisis as well that's been flooding in across our borders and frankly, through the mail even, right? I'll see if we can get to that for you at some point here this morning on the show. But first, Stephen Miller, I told you, he just unloaded on these America last trade deals. This one comes from the Trump War Room. He was on with Martha McCallum yesterday on Fox News.
Some of the last 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, no.
We are on the verge now because of President Trump's strength and leadership of fixing our entire global trading system. This is an astonishing fact. Did you know, for example, that we have a $50 billion trade deficit with Japan alone in automobiles? Here's the country we protect. Here's a country that we defend. Here's a country that's an ally and partner of the United States. Why is it that we have a $50 billion automobile deficit with Japan and another $50 billion automobile deficit with South Korea? Our troops are stationed right now in South Korea, keeping them safe and free. Our troops, our soldiers, away from home, away from families in South Korea. $50 billion automobile trade deficit with that one country alone. President Trump is going to fix our global trading relationships. And at the same time, he's going to work with Congress to make America the manufacturing center of the world with the lowest taxes, right, the lowest regulations, and the cheapest energy.
All right. And then there's another great clip from that same back and forth with Martha McCallum, where he talks about, you know, the strength and the toughness of President Donald J. Trump. And remember, this is a man who survived an assassin's bullet with blood down the side of his face. He got back up on his feet and raised his fist in the air and said, fight, fight, fight.
I believe that China will be forced very soon to come to the table for the simple reason that China's economy is completely dependent on its exports to the United States and to the West. China has built its entire industrial strategy since its entrance into the World Trade Organization on being able to sell highly subsidized, currency-manipulated, dumped goods into U.S. markets. It is an industrial strategy from China to product dump strategically to take out American steel, to take out American aluminum, to take out core American defense industries and defense needs so that we're reliant on China. And what's happening here is that China is now discovering for the first time that they have met an American president who is not going to be intimidated, who's not going to be bullied, who's not going to be coerced, who's going to stand up for our essential security needs.
Now,
China needs us because of their export dependency on China.
It's going to be very interesting to...
All right, there you go. And yet, a couple of those things I shared on X, x.com/Aaron Flint, earlier this morning, or like I say, you know, both of those clips came from the Trump war room. I love the way they fight back on social media, and they don't just cede that terrain to the other side like Republicans and conservatives used to do. By the way, back to this coal order and the coal news, the beautiful Montana clean coal news from yesterday at the White House. The DailyWire.com has a write-up. End the government bias against coal. Trump signs order to bolster floundering American industry. What? Now, why is it floundering? Because of a tax on the industry by our own government. Because of a tax on the industry by these liberal federal judges like Judge Christensen here in Montana. That guy is a complete hack. He is a blank check for the radical environmentalist. That guy is trying to do to eastern Montana what Judge Don Malloy did to western Montana by targeting industry, union jobs, working class, high wage jobs, good middle class jobs. Don Malloy destroyed the timber industry. The Democrat appointed judge to the bench, and this Christensen character has been working to do the same thing when it comes to oil, gas, coal, agriculture, you name it. That's why we've got to see some new federal judges here in Montana, especially. We're going to have some, speaking of judges, we're going to have some exclusive news for you here. We've got a great guest who's going to join us on the phone lines here in just a few minutes. That's why we're really glad that our phone lines are back up and running here. So thanks to our producer, Caden, and our engineer, Andy, for their jumping into action on that front. All right, let's see. So Chris Wright, Energy Secretary Chris Wright, he spends a lot of time here in Montana. He's got a lot of friends here in Montana. And that's why I know our Montana senators were very pleased to see Chris Wright not only get appointed, but get confirmed as a Secretary of Energy. He was on a couple of different news outlets yesterday. He was on Fox News. He was on CNBC talking about coal and how important coal is. And really, if you actually care about the environment, if you actually care about the environment, you would actually want more beautiful, clean coal here in the United States of America.
Dirty is often used two different ways. When it's used for greenhouse gases, it's just a misnomer. They're not dirty. They're essential for life. They do absorb infrared radiation, but that's a separate dialogue. But coal, the way to think of dirty is pollutants. American technology for coal has made scrubbers so that the air coming out of coal plants, it's just a white plume like a natural gas plant. That's just water vapor coming out. So no, coal done right is very clean. And that's what we do in the United States. In fact, the United States pulling back from coal
has slowed the diffusion of American coal technology to China and India. I would argue we'd have cleaner air in the United States if we focused more on a strong coal industry here and got American coal technology to remove the pollutants from coal power plants into Asia. That would clean American air, not dirty American air.
Yeah, if you actually cared about the air, if you actually cared about the environment, you would focus on what they're doing in Asia. You would be grateful for what we're doing in America. That was a clip from CNBC. Here he was on Fox News slamming slamming the eco-driven coal plant closures in America.
Coal has been the largest source of electricity on the planet for 100 years, and it will be for decades more to come. The belief that, you know, coal is somehow going to sunset and be gone in a decade or two, that's just not happening. That's just, China has under construction today more coal plants under construction than the entire capacity in the United States. So pretending that, you know, closing coal plants in the United States is going to change global greenhouse gas emissions, that's just nonsense. What it is going to do is drive electricity prices higher for American consumers, destabilize our grid, and make it more expensive to produce steel and cement and these other key ingredients in the United States. President Trump's bringing back common sense, and I think everyone wins from that.
Yeah, but see there, Mr. Wright, the Democrats and the liberal media, they want to help China's economy. They're very worried about China. They don't care about the Montana economy or the Wyoming economy or the American economy. They want to help China. They want them to have all the coal-fired power plants. They want to kneecap us.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, who were we talking with? Was it George Blackard on Freedom Friday? I think it was George Blackard, and I forget how the topic came up. But, you know, we were talking about judges and the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court. And what else? What else? I mean, it was funny because for some reason we get to talking about this, and I said, well, you know, there are some good judges out there. We got to remind people there are good judges here in Montana, you know, at the state district court level. You know, they're not all bad. I forget who we were talking to, but anyway. And then kind of the light went off in my head. It's like, wait a minute. Why are we saying this? Why have we come to this? In the United States of America, why have we come to this in Montana where we have to add a caveat? Well, there are some good judges out there. They're all supposed to be good judges. It's kind of like street lights. Is it breaking news that the lights turn green right now and then it'll go red? And is it breaking news that all of the stoplights in town are working right now? I mean, imagine if most of the stoplights or even like one-third of the stoplights weren't working. Would you say, well, there's a lot of good streetlights out there. There's a lot of good working stoplights. There's racks everywhere. Well, there's a lot of good stoplights. There's freaking chaos in the streets. Wow, there's a lot of good stoplights today. Anyway, we've got a good judge on the phone lines with us right now, Judge Dan Wilson out of the Flathead Valley, joining us for some exclusive news, I think, here this morning. Judge, great to have you on the show. First, what do you think? Shouldn't they all be good judges?
They all should be good judges, and thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show, Aaron. It's always a great pleasure, and I do have some exciting news. I am running for the seat that will be opening next year by a retirement of a current sitting justice on our Montana Supreme Court. So I am in for a penny, in for a pound. Last year I ran an election and a race, a campaign that was so overwhelmingly positive experience for me and for the supporters that I met. I couldn't be more excited to announce that I am running again. And this time we're going to put it over the top. We have a great campaign team put together. We're going to have great support. I'm really excited.
I'm glad that you're not only getting back into the fight, but you're getting back into the fight early to start raising the resources and start building the momentum now, because so many candidates, you know, they'll run for statewide office and then they may not run again because they'll say, oh, well, I came up short. But look at – There was a point where I think maybe it was in the 2020 election, and you look at every single statewide candidate that won a statewide office here in the state in Montana. I think I went back and looked at it, and every single one of them had previously lost a statewide office, but they went back after it again. So I'm very excited to hear that you're going to go back after it, because I know, man, people really just appreciated your insight, your demeanor, and just your adherence to the Constitution when they got a chance to meet you and hear more about you on the campaign trail.
Well, and you've highlighted really what is the main challenge. They say that Montana is a small town with a really long Main Street. And what that means in practical terms when you're running a statewide race is that you really need to get your name out there. There's only possible to meet and talk to so many people face to face. You need the word to get out, the word to spread. And that just takes a lot of effort and a lot of time. And there isn't always time in one statewide race to get it done. But we're getting a head start this time. We have a head start going into it with last year's experience. And I'm really confident that my name is out there, a good impression is out there, and we're going to put it over the top.
Well, yeah, and I think you can build on the name ID that you had, that you built up in the last campaign. What I appreciated about your campaign in 2024 is, you know, I first saw you on the campaign trail. I was in Malta. And, you know, we were doing this show. We were, you know, interviewing some local hunters in Malta and, you know, kind of talking with folks. And there you were. You were making the rounds across northeast Montana, which is sometimes called the forgotten corner, because sometimes people running for these offices, at least in the past, not so much anymore, they would just ignore rural Montana and places like northeast Montana. And so, but and you get out there. You don't just hide out in the bigger towns along the interstate.
Well, and you make another good point, and that is eastern Montana is vital, not only because it's sort of our heartland, it's where our ag community is centered, but it's where common sense resides. And eastern Montana is not a fickle place. There are people that work hard year after year, raise their families, hope that their kids can stay in the state. But the idea in eastern Montana is we want common sense people. We realize there's always going to be conflict in the legislature. There's always going to be conflict in politics. But we want steady hands at the helm when it comes to our Supreme Court, because we love our Constitution. We want our rights supported. But we also want judges who come to the job with common sense and not to put their thumb on one side of the scales of justice or the other. And that's who I've been, and that's who I will be on the Montana Supreme Court.
Yeah, Judge Dan Wilson, for those of you who don't remember, back during the Rona craze and some of the crazy policies that were going on, remember how they tried to completely strip away your constitutional rights and shut down your businesses? I mean, it was outrageous. Well, Judge Wilson was the one who stood up for our Constitution, stood up for your constitutional rights and common sense and decency. And when the then Democrat Governor Bullock was trying to, you know, basically poke these small businesses in the chest and the Flathead Valley, Judge Wilson was the one who stepped in and intervened. And so I always need to remind people about that, because, you know, you never know how you're going to respond to a crisis or how you're going to respond when under fire. You can train for it all day long, but when you were put to the test, you met the challenge and you stood up for the Constitution.
I appreciate that. At the time, I can tell you that it was nothing but high drama and emotion in the courthouse, and nobody knew how this thing was going to go, how it was going to turn out. I'm talking about the pandemic and the political and governmental response to it. But I knew one thing. I was going to base my decision on the law, the Constitution, and the facts. And that's what I did, and that's what I maintain as a judge, is going to save us. You know, we are going to have a lot of hard issues to deal with as a country and as a state. And the politics may go back and forth from time to time, but we need a solid center court that's there, not to be swayed by emotion, not to be swayed and rule in favor of temporary and very over-dramatized political arguments, but to be solid and steady, because as a democracy, as a republic, we are going to get there together. I'm talking about the future. We're going to get there together, or we're not going to get there at all. And so it's important that the power may be maintained in the people that they vote for.
When it's interesting, too, watching Chief Justice Corey Swanson, who got elected last election cycle. And, of course, you got, I mean, there was so much money pouring in against you. I mean, your opponent had all the big out-of-state Democrat Party mega donors, the Planned Parenthood money, the ACLU money, et cetera. But I think what Chief Justice Corey Swanson is showing us is that, hey, he's not some ideological battering ram who's trying to go in there and blow everything up. He's trying to just bring about some common sense. He's trying to bring, he's really trying to just get the court back focused on business.
Yeah, and I had a front row seat to his campaign virtually the whole time. And I am really happy to say that what Corey Swanson said he was going to do, exactly what he said he was going to do, he's actually doing. He's voting on every case based on the facts and the law with the idea that we need to stick to the rule of law in the court. Let the political battles be waged. Let them be fought in the legislature, in Congress. You know, that's where those battles need to take place. But the court needs to be that solid core of common sense, and that's what's going to hold the whole thing together. It's not when the court takes sides.
Well, that's why when I see, like, these Republicans fighting each other in the legislature over all this stuff, it's like, guys, you realize you can sit here and fight all day long and pass a bill or not pass a bill, but at the end of the day, like, if the GOP just spends all this time infighting each other, you know, and it doesn't focus on things like judicial elections and things like that, I said, you can get whatever bill you want across the finish line, and some liberal judge like this judge in Missoula or the liberal justices are just going to throw your work in the trash can anyway. Because you're right, the fight should take place at the legislature, but instead you got biased judges and justices just throwing things out because they don't like it.
Well, and your district court judges may, in some sense, reflect the values of the communities where they live and where they have their courts. But over all of them sits atop all of them our Montana Supreme Court. And that's what we need to make sure we have balance, we have fairness, we have common sense, because that will bring the practice of these out-of-line district court judge rulings back to the center, back where they should be, back to common sense, back to the rule of law, so that the real battles, the political battles, can be fought where they're supposed to be fought, in the legislature, in county commissions, all the places where people have a nearly direct say in what happens, right? Well, people don't have a say in what happens in court.
That's right. Yeah, and feel like they don't have even get heard, really, frankly, either. Judge Dan Wilson, great to hear from you. Quick break, back right after this. Yeah, big news.
Get ready for Netflix's gripping new medical drama, Pulse. Set in a cutting-edge Miami trauma center, third-year resident Dr. Danny Sims is unexpectedly thrust into a promotion when beloved chief resident Dr. Xander Phillips gets suspended. Then, with the emotional and physical stakes at their highest, a storm will push the hospital and its residents to their limits. Witness how life can change in a heartbeat when you're operating under pressure. Watch Pulse, only on Netflix.
Fox News commentary.
The Biden tell-all books are rolling out, and guess what? Turns out he wasn't as mentally fit as they tried to make us believe. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From around the world, Trey Hingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington.
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
The Biden tell-all books are rolling out, and there's a startling common theme. His team, his closest advisors, and his inner circle members were well aware of his mental decline. Some anecdotes even detail the former president and leader of the free world needed fluorescent tape to guide his movements. A forthcoming book also suggests his senior aide, Ron Klain, was concerned President Biden may have thought he was president of NATO rather than the United States. Other accounts of his decline detail his inability to communicate even to small groups without the help of a teleprompter. The fact that Joe was a mental mess isn't shocking, but the extent of his decline is really quite scary. Who was running the country? We may never know. So while the Democrats and their pals in the media are now lamenting on President Trump's inability to lead, just remember many of the same folks told you and I repeatedly that Joe was fit as a fiddle. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see cloudiness and some sunny breaks today with some isolated rain showers possible, mixed with snow in some parts of the area towards Bozeman early. Otherwise, high temperatures from the mid-50s in Bozeman to about 63 in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect clear skies, lows in the low to mid-30s. Then we'll see sunshine Thursday with a high in the upper 60s, around 70. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Man, you got to see this video with Great Falls, Montana's own King Kai Stewart reigning supreme in Dubai. Another championship at the bare knuckle fights. But check out the video as Conor McGregor wraps the championship belt around his waist and describes this incredible fighter from right here in Montana. It's all there, MontanaTalks.com. Plus, the Carnival of Crazy. Expose 406-948-2836 now or visit YHIC.com for their biggest sale of the year.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Holy cow, we are already about halfway through the show here this morning. The time is just flying by. I had to do my mid-morning snack there during the break. What did I have for breakfast? I had some pizza crisps. Pizza crisps. That crisp is a little hard word to say in the words. Crisps. I had some pizza crisps. These things are really good. Some of you are thinking, well, Aaron, what about the whole Billings Last Diet thing? Well, I'm not doing my diet tune-up. I'm not on phase one. But here's the deal. For breakfast, I love to just have a quick protein snack. Protein is a great way to get your morning started, right? And I get up at 0:30, so I just want to grab something quick and go. And I want something that's relatively inexpensive, right? Not some, you know, big, fancy, expensive thing. I'm just trying to get to this show, get everything up and rolling here. But, yeah, these pizza crisps, I picked them up yesterday. I stopped in at Billings Last Diet and checked in. I do a once-a-month check-in. That's how I stay on track, where it's like, okay, need to you know, cut it back a little bit, or, hey, I'm doing great. A once-a-month 15-minute diet check-in, and then I grab some more products, too, because I just love the taste of these protein products. And so that's the one I had for breakfast this morning. Man, that stuff is good. BillingsLastDiet.com, or give them a call, 294-6751. If you just need to do a little tune-up, or maybe you need a little accountability, or maybe you want to be like Tim in Savage, who has now lost 100 pounds using the remote option. Absolutely incredible. He sent me a photo and a screenshot of his latest stats, and he's looking like Bruce Willis in Die Hard. Pretty cool. All right, Judge Dan Wilson, thanks, Judge, for sticking around on the phone lines. You've got your website up and running already, wilsonforjustice.com. What else do you want to tell folks across Montana? And thanks for announcing this exclusive news right here on Montana Talks.
It's my pleasure, Aaron. I do want to emphasize what my judicial philosophy is. And my philosophy is not one that comes from anything but hard-won experience. As a lawyer, I've been in the legal profession and a judge for more than 30 years, more than half of my life. And my philosophy is unbendable here. I am a constitutional conservative. What that means is that I don't go to the Constitution looking to spin the contents of whatever was debated at the Constitutional Convention, not there to spin, massage the words of the Constitution to get a preferred outcome, to support some special interest group, or even a political party. The whole idea of being a judge, in my view, is to go at the language of the Constitution honestly, candidly, forthrightly, and merely say what it says, declare what it says. The parties, in their briefs to the court, they will spin that history to their desired outcome. They will spin the facts to try to get the judge to go their way. But judges need to set all that aside, and that's what I do, and that's what a constitutional conservative does. And in the end, we get rulings that reflect what the Constitution says, reflect the bargain that was struck between the citizens of Montana and their government when they adopted their constitution. It's not a living, breathing document. It's a contract. It's a contract. It says exactly what the parties intended that it would say. It says exactly what the voters voted on it. And a constitutional conservative judge like myself merely seeks to further the public will in adopting exactly what they said and without spin. No legislating from the bench. That's who I am, that's what I do, and that's why I'm running.
All right. Well, Judge Wilson, great to hear from you once again. And, yeah, keep us posted. Look forward to seeing you on the campaign trail. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much.
All right. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the show, some of you have already filed your taxes. Some of you maybe haven't gotten your taxes done yet. Well, just a heads up. I've been getting a lot of emails from people saying, hey, I ended up owing on state taxes. Why, if the taxes were cut, did I owe on my taxes? We're going to throw that question to State Senator Greg Hertz out of Polson. He's going to kick off the 8 o'clock hour next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The stock market is not the economy, certainly. Its euphoria and gloom are dramatic and well-publicized. The changes in the overall economy can't be boiled down to a simple number and take weeks or more to show up in data. For all the talk of trillions of wealth being wiped out in recent days, there have been equally eye-popping changes on the upside during the market's bull run before that. In reality, of course, those gyrations are just numbers on a page, with concrete meaning only if the assets they represent are liquidated. Lower or even dramatically lower stock prices don't put people out of work, and the connection between portfolio values and current spending is nowhere near as strong as some make it out to be. But the market is a sentiment index on the immediate future, and its precipitous fall warns us of just how much those sentiments have changed for the worse. It is people and institutions voting with dollars on where they think the return on those assets is greatest, and right now that is anywhere but in shares of U.S. companies. I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
KBUL.